Well, good morning. First lesson is from Isaiah, 49th chapter on page 730. And it's verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has seen my strength, has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up, princes will see you and bow down. Because the Lord who is faithful, the only one of Israel who has chosen you. So, let's end the first lesson. Psalm for today is Psalm 41. And that is page 560. Psalm 41. So, verses 1 through 11. I will read the odds, and if you respond with the evens. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. I lost my place. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. So, the second lesson is Corinthians, page 1142. First Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace, peace, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here ends the readings.
Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Can I have the children come down for the children? I'm sorry, what? No, but another time you might. I don't know when. Sometime. You know what? It's my turn to get the can. How's that? So I'm going to keep the can so I can do something with it. Maybe I'll put something in it and you guys can do something with it next week. That's a good idea. I like that. Or maybe I'll give it to one of you and let you do something with it. That might be even more fun. All right, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So what I want you to do for a few minutes is I want you to use your imagination. And what I want you to imagine is that tomorrow when you're at the coffee shop, the grocery store, the post office, wherever it is that you're running an errand, let's say that you see Jesus. Okay? It's not impossible, you know. You see Jesus. And all of a sudden, he acknowledges you and he says to you, "What do you want? What do you want?" Now, that's kind of what happened with these two disciples in the gospel lesson for today. We have Andrew and an unnamed disciple who is probably John, the writer of the gospel, and they're hanging out with John the Baptist. And Jesus walks by, and John says, "Hey, that's the guy." That's the guy I've been telling you about. You know, the one who's going to change things, the one who's going to turn the world upside down, turn it on its head, the one who's going to show us a whole different way of living. That's the guy right there. And so they get excited and they start to follow him. Now, have you ever had the experience in your life of just feeling somebody's presence? Either they're, you know, watching you, or you sense that they're following you. You ever had that? We had a kid. We have a kid. But when this kid was little, I'm not going to give away if it's boy or girl or name which one it is. But this kid, every once in a while, would want something in the middle of the night. And what the kid did was to come in and just stand beside the bed. Never said a word. Just stood there. And then all of a sudden, you would feel this presence. And it's like, boom! What do you want? Oh, I just needed a drink of water. Why didn't you say anything? But you could feel the presence. Well, Jesus is walking and these two guys are behind him and he feels their presence. And he turns around and he says to them, what do you want? Now, I've said that at the very beginning of the sermon, so you've had a minute or two to think about that. What do you want? If Jesus were to ask that question, what do you want? Good health? Success for your children? Security in retirement? Good job? Comfortable life? What do you want? Well, these two, when they were asked that question, said, where are you staying? And you know, you can feel them saying, looking at one another and saying, did we really say that? Why in the world, of all the things that we could say, did we ask him, where are you staying? Come on now, we could, you know, it's kind of like when, like when you were in high school sometimes and you ask somebody out for a date and they finally acknowledged you and it's like, and your mouth doesn't work. You know, your brain and your mouth don't go together. This is what's kind of going on. Where are you staying? Now, Jesus is really cool because he doesn't say, what's with you two guys? He doesn't make them feel stupid. He doesn't make them feel like they've stuck their foot in your mouth. He simply says, hey, come along and find out. And they're going, yeah, that's really good. And so they do. They take off with Jesus. And you know what they get to do? They get to spend the whole day with Jesus. Now imagine that, getting to spend the whole day just hanging out with Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? And they do. And you know what's really sad in this whole story? John doesn't tell us one word about what they talked about. Nothing. We don't have any idea except for one thing. Whatever it was one of the most exciting things in the world that they had ever heard, because Andrew goes and he runs and he finds his brother Peter, grabs him by the front of the tunic and he says, hey, come on, you got to see this. We found the guy who's the Messiah. You got to come and see him. It's the most wonderful thing. It's exciting. Grabs him by the arm and he literally almost drags him down the road so he can meet Jesus. Wants him to experience the same thing that he's experienced within his life. So, what does all this have to say to us today? Well, there is so much stuff in this lesson that we could probably go hours. I mean, we probably really could, but we're not going to. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. And so I may talk faster than normal, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to just take a look at this. So, first thing is, what do these guys want? That's a question Jesus asked. What do you want? What is it that these two guys want? What have they been searching for? Why have they been hanging around John the Baptist? Why are they following Jesus? Because they're missing something in their life. They're missing something in their life. They do not feel whole. They do not feel complete. They feel as if there's a part of them that's just kind of hanging out there, and they don't know what it is. You know, some of us do the same thing sometimes, don't we? Aren't there times we go searching for something? You know that there's something out there and you just can't put your finger on what it is? That's how they felt. And the thing that they were missing in their life was God. And this kind of goes back to the very beginning. If you go back to the creation story, when God created human beings, I won't put my confirmands on the spot, but when God created human beings, God created people in His own what? Image. Okay. Now, when we think of the word image of God, or the word image, we often think of what? What you see is in a mirror or a picture that you might take. Now, did they have mirrors? Did they have digital cameras? No. When we're talking about the image of God back in those times, we're talking about something totally different. God said, or the writer of Genesis says, God formed human beings out of what? Dust of the earth. So He's working with what? Clay. Now, when you work with clay, one of the things that's often hard to do is to get all your little fingerprints off of it. And so what the image that's being presented here is that when God made human beings, He left His imprint, His handprint upon us. And while that hand is filling in that print, everything's cool. Life is good. But when we distance ourselves from God, what do you have? You've got like a gap, don't you? You've got this thing that needs to be filled, and there's nothing to fill it with. And so what do? We run around trying to fill it with stuff. We fill it with money and possessions and all kinds of stuff. And when you do, it's like taking a round peg and trying to stick it in a square hole. It just doesn't go. What it is that makes us feel complete is when God's hand is upon us, when we're close to God. And that's what these two guys wanted to do. They wanted to be close to God. And when they were, that's when they got excited, because now they were complete. Second thing. Andrew and John had the most fantastic thing that they could do. They got to hang out with Jesus, and that's how they got to know Him. If you want to know somebody, you've got to hang out with them. If somebody tells you about someone, you can find out all kinds of facts, figures, information about them, but do you really know who they are? You know what somebody else thinks they are. You know what somebody else might imagine that they are, but do you really know who they are? No. If you want to know somebody, what do you have to do? You've got to spend time with them. If we want to get to know Jesus, we've got to spend time with Him. We've got to hang out with Him. Got to read the Gospels. We need to take some time in prayer. We need to take some time and put ourselves into the story. We need to think about what it is that we've read. Sometimes you just need to sit in silence. And I know that's really hard sometimes for some of us, because there aren't a lot of silent moments in some people's life. But sometimes you just need to sit in silence and hang out with God. Third thing that we can pick up from this lesson. Andrew, John the Baptist, Peter, almost everybody that you meet in the Gospels got to know Jesus for one reason. Want to guess what it is? Think about it. What is it? Huh? Somebody said it, I think. Somebody else told him, right? John says, I didn't know, but whoever it is that told me. Andrew, John, Peter, somebody else introduced him. So one of the things that you and I are called to do as disciples is to introduce people to Jesus, which is really a difficult thing for some of us to do. Because if if we say to people, we want you to go and be witnesses for Christ. Most of us go, you want me to do what? Now, here's the thing about a witness, though. A witness can only testify to what they have seen or heard or experienced. If you're called to be a witness, you don't have to talk about anything that you don't know about, do you? You only have to share what you know, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced in your life. When we're called to be witnesses for Christ, you're not called to go out and quote the whole Bible. You're not called to exegete passages. All you're called to do is to tell what you know. Now, here's the other thing. Most of the people that these guys were talking to were their friends. They were people that they knew. God really doesn't call you in most instances to go up and grab somebody on the side of the street and say, hi, have you been saved? Do you know where you're spending eternity? We used to have people like that in college. They used to stop us in the commons and ask us questions like that. And we weren't really nice to them, but we'll just stop there. It's probably a better thing. So, you know, most of the people that you share the gospel with are the people that you know. People who will listen to you. They like you. You're their friend. It's not hard to do. All you have to do is talk about what you know. Nothing else. You don't have to make anything up. Just what do you know? And then the fourth thing is, real quick, last bit. This experience of knowing Jesus, hanging out with him, being a part of having him be a part of your life is so exciting. Not only do you want to tell people about it, but you want to show it by how you live out your life, which is called serving one another. And so you do things. You serve those around you. And there's lots of different ways you can do that. You do some of that stuff here. You know, we've got a whole table full of food. We've got baskets full of clothes. We've got yarn coming out the ears, or we did. There are all kinds of ways to serve. And that's what we're called to be about. So when it comes down to it, we have the most wonderful gift in the entire world. The question is, not necessarily what do you want, but the question really is, what are you going to do with it? Amen. So now